In relation to the UFO, I've been asked if you believe in UFOs. No, I don't believe in UFOs. I don't have to. I know they're here. And I have to tell you a quick story that happened to Ivy West, who you know.
Yes.
And myself and Paul Tice, who you'll have to know
all
later.
Right.
This was back in 92. Back in 1992, I was going to be the best man at my friend's wedding up in Palmdale, which is about 60 miles north of me. And I went up there to spend the day with him, and as everyone was getting ready for the wedding, his wife-to-be went out with her mother and girlfriends to the market, and they came back, and there was an old man following them in the car, and he got out and followed them up to the house. And we wondered, who is this? And he came up, and the girl said to me, she said, we met this man in the market, and he said he needs to talk to the best man at my wedding. And she said, how do you know I'm getting married? He said, I just need to talk to the best man. And so she let him follow her home because he was an old man and didn't look very
dangerous. Suspicious, yeah.
And so I said, well, okay, talk to me. And he said, I have been told to tell you that you're going to be in a car and you're going to be driving the car yourself. And there's going to be a lady in the front seat and a man in the back seat, and you're going to be way out in the desert, and you're going to have a tremendous UFO confrontation, but it will not happen for at least a year and a half. It's going to be a year and a half from now. And I said, well, sometimes my friend and I go up to the desert at night looking to see what we might see. And he said, no, this is going to be way out in the desert, and it's going to be east of California, and they are going to pick the time for you to see them. And so he said, but remember, a year and a half from now, and you'll be driving. Well, a year and a half from then, I was speaking at a conference, a UFO conference over in Mesquite, Nevada. And on the way back on Sunday, I had Ivy in the front seat and Paul in the back seat. And we were talking, and I said, have you ever been up to Area 51? Well, no, none of us had. So we turned around and decided to go up. And we get up there, and we're sitting and talking with Joe and Pat Travis, the lovely people who own the Little Alien up in Rachel, Nevada.
Yes.
And so we're sitting up there, and then when they're closing that night, about 11 o'clock, 11:30, I said, Joe, where do we go to see UFOs? And he said, go out in the parking lot, they'll find you. And so Pat says, well, if you want to go where all the tourists go, you go out on the highway and go back south toward Las Vegas, toward Vegas, back south, and go exactly 20 miles. And you'll see a big mailbox there. That's the famous black mailbox. And just sit there and wait and see what will happen. So we got in the car, and as we're driving out, Ivy's in the front seat, Paul's in the back, I'm driving. I got onto the highway and turned left, going north. Ivy didn't catch it, I didn't, or Paul. We went 20 miles north of Alien rather than south, and when we got to the 20-mile mark, we slowed down, put on the bright lights, looking for a mailbox, couldn't find one. So we decided to turn around and go back to the Alien.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as we stopped the car, right where we stopped the car, there was a road leading off out into the desert, a well-kept level road. And Ivy and Paul said, let's go out in the desert. And I said, well, you're out in the desert. You don't have to go any further.
Yeah, I don't want to go any further.
I don't want to go any further into the desert. And it was totally overcast, from sea to sea, totally overcast. Couldn't see a thing. And they wouldn't stop. They said, let's go out. So I did. We drove out a couple, three blocks, and then all of a sudden I felt very strongly that we have done something wrong. I knew that we were in a wrong place at the wrong time. I backed the car up to turn it around, and I said, Ivy, I'm getting out of here. I'm scared. There's something wrong, and I don't know what it is, but I'm trusting my gut feeling. And Ivy and Paul jumped on me and said, look it, park the car. We get out for a couple of minutes. So I said, all right, but I don't feel good about this. They said, park the car. Get out for a couple of minutes. So I did. We could not have been out of the car more than 1 minute when the clouds just north of us, and remember, it's very dark on the desert at that hour, like about 1:30 in the morning, when it's totally overcast, no light, period. And just north of us, the cloud began to open up, a hole in the cloud, and two beautiful, bluish-white, glowing disc-shaped things came floating in, not zipping by, but slowly floating through the hole, coming, and as they came through the opening of the clouds, they leveled off so that their light reflected off of the clouds above them, and each one of them appeared about the size that the moon appears, the full moon appears in the sky. So they were not little dots of light. These were beautiful, about the size of the moon, gorgeous, glowing blue and white disc. As we were shocked when we saw these two discs come through, five more followed them. Now there were seven bluish-white discs hovering above us, making no sound whatsoever and scaring me to death. Ivy and Paul are jumping around like they've seen Santa Claus for the first time. They loved it. I was scared because I knew I have never seen anything like this. I'm from Pensacola. I know what the Naval Air Station has.
Exactly.
I've seen all the top-of-the-line stuff. But this was not anything I have ever seen. And I was legitimately frightened. And I told Ivy, I said, we're getting out of here, Ivy. I don't know what this means. I don't know who they are, and I'm scared. I want to get out of here. And so Ivy and Paul jumped in the car because they knew I was serious. They rolled the window down. I put my foot to the floor, flipped on the lights, and took off. When I did, immediately Ivy and Paul went totally ballistic, now themselves screaming at each other, and now they're scared big time.
What are they scared about?
And I kept screaming at Ivy because I am frightened. Ivy is now screaming, a woman screaming in your ear while you're driving fast. It's an extraordinary adventure. And so
been there, done that.
So I screamed at Ivy. I yelled at her. I said, Ivy, shut up. I'm trying to get out of here. And she's screaming. And so I stopped the car quickly and threw open the door. And those seven disc-shaped things were now down on us.
Oh,
they
my
were
gosh.
Huge. And they were zipping around the car. They were doing extraordinary things of coming together in a circle, blowing out into a seven-pointed star, coming back into a circle, blowing back out into a seven-pointed star, doing all kinds of extraordinary stuff. And they weren't hurting us. They were frightening me. And now they've got the attention of Paul and Ivy, and they're scared. We got back out on the highway, and we stood there, and all the emotions started pouring out. There were tears. There were laughing. It was beautiful. It was frightening. It was this and that. We went back to the motel, and for about an hour, you can imagine, the conversation was, what in the world did we see tonight? Made no sound whatsoever and did things that we have never seen any craft do. And later the next morning, I got up, and Ivy and Paul were over at the Little Alien having breakfast, and I went over, and I saw a bunch of people sitting around the table listening to Ivy and Paul. And I thought they were talking about what, you know, they were telling the people what happened to us last night. No, they were telling the people what happened to them in the bedroom last night that I slept through. And Paul and Ivy were visited, or they let me sleep through it, obviously. But Paul was visited in the bedroom at Little Alien, and so was Ivy. One of these days you'll have to ask Ivy to tell you the story. It was an extraordinary story.
That's and how does that tie in then to the old man who sent you on that merry way a year and a half before that?
I know. He told me I would be in a desert, way out in the desert. He told me that there would be a woman and a man. And incidentally, he told me, and I asked him why specific, and he said there has to be a woman and a man. Because it needs to be two witnesses to what you're going to see. Because the event is not for them; it is for you. But they want a man and a woman to be a witness to what you're going to see.